thank you, Rose, for reading the scripture today. Let me give you a quick summary of where we're going to go with this passage today. John 10 contrasts two forces that are at work in the world. The thief who steals, kills, and destroys, and Jesus, the one who gives life and gives it abundantly. This is the heart of the passage. The thief takes life. Jesus gives life. And we are called by the Spirit to choose life. Life to the full. Jesus begins with the solemn words, "Very truly I tell you." In Greek, this is amen and amen. A single amen indicates importance, whereas two amens in a row signal urgency. Jesus is saying to you, pay close attention. What I'm about to tell you really matters. He warns, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Thieves steal quietly. They sneak in by stealth. Robbers steal violently and take things by force. But both take what does not belong to them. Now, I pictured something up there from the Old West, cattle rustlers. For whatever reason, thinking about sheep stealers reminds me of cattle rustlers in the Wild West. Perhaps you recall those from the old Western films, like those starring John Wayne, Gary Cooper, or Gene Autry. But cattle rustling still happens today, except it doesn't happen on horseback anymore. It happens with trucks and trailers in the thick of the night. Cattle rustlers today operate under the cover of darkness. The theft is still real, still destructive, and still costly. Kenneth Bailey, who spent decades in the Middle East, describes how Palestinian families built walled sheepfolds behind their homes. The walls were topped with thorns and thistles and perhaps broken glass to keep out the thieves. Yet thieves and robbers still came, sometimes individuals, sometimes organized gangs. They climbed the walls at night to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus uses this everyday image, this picture of sheep, to help us understand the spiritual truth. But verse 6 tells us that the people did not understand the metaphor, but the warning is clear. Beware of anything or anyone who takes life rather than gives it. And you know what? Jesus still warns us today. The thief still comes to steal joy, kill hope, and destroy faith. The thief still whispers lies in our ears, still distracts us from doing good, and still deceives us, making the wrong seem right. After this sermon, Megan, Matt, and Anthony will profess their faith. And you can see we're ready to go up front. I hope they're ready to go too. And the first question they will receive is, do you renounce sin and the power of evil in your life and in the world? And their answer will be, I renounce them. To renounce means to refuse, reject, or repudiate. It is a decisive no to the old way of life and a bold yes to the new life in Christ. When Rose and I served in prison ministry, we often warned the new believers that spiritual attacks often intensify when they make a stand for Christ, when they get baptized, or when they make profession of faith. The enemy does not surrender souls quietly. So we urged converts to stay in the Word, to persist in their prayer life, and to be encouraged by other believers. Truly, we are stronger together. That's why Jesus talked about the sheepfold, The sheepfold was a place of security and safety where they were together. You know, kind of like we're together today as a congregation, but we're better together than we are apart. And we're more vulnerable to spiritual attacks when we're all alone, like a lost and wandering sheep. You know, the same is true for all of us today. The thief still tries to steal your joy away. The thief tries to kill your spirit. And the robber tries to destroy the good work God is doing in your life. But with God's help, you can resist. God helps us by sending his son, Jesus Christ. Before Jesus went up to the cross, he gave us these words of wisdom and images of comfort. Again, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you," which was that amen and amen in the Greek. And he says in verse 7, "I am the gate for the sheep." And again in verse 9, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Did you hear that? Whoever enters through Jesus the gate will receive the gift of salvation. What a beautiful thing. Is Jesus the shepherd or the gate? That may be confusing. We often think of Jesus as the good shepherd, and he is. But here he also calls himself the gate. How could both be true at the same time? How could he both be? And if you're a literal thinker, maybe this stuff just blows your mind away because you're thinking, here he is the shepherd, here he is the gate. Well, which one is it? Is it that one or that one? Kenneth Bailey helps us and says, perhaps it could be both. Shepherds in the Middle East often led their flocks far from home into the wilderness in search of pasture. A long way from home, they built circular stone enclosures with a single opening. At night, and you got to hear this, the shepherd would lie down across the entrance. His body became the door. His body became the gate. And if anyone or anything wanted to get at the sheep, they would have to climb over him. In that moment, the shepherd himself was both the protector of the sheep and the gate to the sheepfold. Jesus does the same for us. He places himself between us and danger, between us and sin, death, and hell, the three greatest enemies of the spiritual life. He is the gate through which we are saved and also the shepherd who leads us to safety. Verse 9 explains, "Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." Now the gate symbolizes salvation because Jesus is the one who rescues us from sin. The gate symbolizes protection. Jesus guards you from harm and danger. Provision. Jesus leads us into nourishment and rest. You know, earlier we read from the Psalms, Psalm 23, and we recited those six verses kind of one at a time, back and forth. But Psalm 23 has echoes in this passage, especially when it talks about the sheepfold and pasture. Hear the words of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." Jesus is not a taker. He is a giver. He gives grace, life, and even himself. John 10, verse 10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." One thing I found out in my studies was that the word kill indicates slaughter or sacrifice, leading us back to Jesus and the cross. Isaiah 53 talks about a lamb being led to the slaughter. Could it be that Jesus allows himself to be slaughtered like a lamb? Could it be that Jesus puts his own life at risk in order to save us? Could it be that Jesus goes through suffering so that we don't have to? Jesus did not cling to his own safety. He laid down his life so that we could live. He suffered and died for our sins. That's grace. God gives freely for the good of all his people. During the profession of faith, the second question will be, who is your Lord and Savior? Their answer will be, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He is the heart of the gospel. God's good news is that the Father has given us his Son, Jesus, the Good Shepherd and the gate for the sheep. What a gift. The final verse of our passage is a gift worth memorizing. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus doesn't offer mere survival. He offers superabundance. Life that overflows. Life beyond measure. Life with a capital L. In the early church, centuries ago, one of the church fathers famously declared, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." Do you love that quote as much as I do? The glory of God is to take a person and transform them by the Holy Spirit so they become fully alive. I love that because we're not just here to breathe the air and eat the food. We're not here to go through the motions. We're here to be fully alive in Jesus, to experience the abundant life, the overflowing life, the life with God. That's what Jesus wants for us, and that's what I want for you. Gerald Borkhart writes that Jesus is the agent of wholeness, eternal life, secure pasture, and also release from darkness. Jesus had declared, "I am the light of the world," putting light into our dark world. The author of the gospel, John, wants us to know that the gift of Jesus is a life beyond our wildest dreams. But how do we live the abundant life? How do we follow the Good Shepherd? Jesus says the key is that the sheep must listen and recognize the voice. Kenneth Bailey observed that Middle Eastern shepherds each have a unique call, a short chant, or a song. Even if someone else learned the song, like if Rose was to go to the Middle East and say, "All right, I'll be your substitute shepherd today. Just teach me that little song that you sang." And so she did that little 5 or 10 second song and tried it. Do you think the sheep would follow Rose, their substitute shepherd? No, because even though the song was the same, even though the words were the same, they didn't recognize that she was the specific shepherd of those specific sheep. The sheep would not respond. They recognized not the words or the melody, but the tone of the person's voice. So what about us? How do we recognize Jesus' voice? There are so many noises out there coming from our cell phones, our TVs, our radios, other people around us, a cacophony of sound. It's noisy out there. And some of those voices are good and some of them are bad. How do you figure out which ones are which? Ask yourself 3 questions. Is this voice consistent with the scripture? Is it life-giving rather than destructive? And does it lead toward Christ-like love, humility, and truth? And furthermore, ask these questions in community. Find a trusted brother or a trusted sister and discern together, because we discern best together. The final profession of faith question will be, will you be a faithful member of this congregation? The answer, I will, God helping me. Don't you love that? You say, I will, so you're committed to this thing. But you know that on your own, you will certainly fail. You'll fall on your face time and time again. But with God's help, you can do it. With God's help, I can do it. With God's help, we can do it together. We all need God's help. And the Spirit enables us to grow, flourish, and bloom where we're planted, like those beautiful flowers on the screen. Those are pictures that I took of the front and the back of the church. Aren't those incredible tulips? And aren't those beautiful daffodils that we have right here on our church property? They're blooming where they're planted, here at Lakeview. And the same is true for Matt, Megan, and Anthony. You're going to be blooming where you're planted. You're going to find out ways to serve. You're going to find out ways to love. You're going to find out ways to participate in the life of the church that will blow your mind. But you'll need God's help, as we all do. You know, after the service, we'll celebrate professions of faith and baptism. Baptism of Megan and Andrew's daughter. And note, there's going to be cake. But there'll also be joy. Joy with a capital J. Because joy comes from knowing Jesus. Open your eyes when you get to the fellowship hall. On the wall near the mail slots, you'll see our AED. The AED, you may have seen it there, is a device that we got for the church that can save lives during a cardiac arrest. And as a church, we care about you enough to try to keep you physically alive. But as I said earlier, it's more than just staying alive. It's about being alive. It's more than just keeping your life here physically, but it's about thriving spiritually. We want you to become fully alive, alive in Christ, alive in the Spirit, alive in the abundant life God offers you today. So remember, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, the Good Shepherd, comes that you may have life and have it in abundance. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, Amen.